What a day that must have been. How many people here are over 20? Oh, we've got one under 20. That's good. Ah. Do you find that birthdays become less important as you get older? Do you get to the stage where all that build-up of excitement to your birthday reduces? Yeah, but you know, when you're a child, the excitement actually starts weeks before. And you see all these things in the shops that you want to buy or you want bought for you as presents. And I don't know, for me these days, a birthday is just another day. It's nice to celebrate. What do you want for your birthday? I don't know. It doesn't have the same. I remember when I was young and I had this roll-along toy, because that's all we could afford after the war, you know. A roll-along toy, yeah. Yeah. It just struck me. Do our expectations diminish with age? You know, I mean, not only of birthdays, but events. You know, how many people are fed up with Brexit? How many people had some expectations when Brexit was when the voting was completed and the decision made? One way or another, you how many people had a passion about it, wanting it to happen or being firmly against it? You know, it seems you watch the TV and they interview people and most people say, "Oh, I'm so fed up with this." Get on with it. Get it finished. Things that carry on and carry on and carry on, they get boring and you lose excitement about it and you become depressed and you become a bit Eeyore-ish. And I hope I'm going to have a decent birthday this year, though, but never mind. Anyway. Pardon? Somebody knows. Yeah. Rolly toy. I'm going to have to depend on the spirit with this, because somewhere or other I've lost a page. It just disappeared. But anyway, the believers, in the readings that we had, the believers, the disciples, they were waiting and they were praying as Christ had commanded them. And at the proper time, the Spirit of God descended on them. And anyone who knows their Bible will understand that God's Spirit was not reserved for the New Testament. For example, in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God was at creation. In Exodus 31, it says, the Lord said to Moses, I have filled the son of Ur with the Spirit of God. Now, we can all have our own understanding of the Spirit of God, but when we read Scripture, we can get a better in-depth picture of exactly what the Spirit of God is, what he does, what impact it has. Because in that Exodus 31 reading, it says that he's filled with the Spirit of God with skill, knowledge, and ability. And the book of Numbers in chapter 11 has numerous references to the Spirit of God as God speaks to Moses. So it isn't an event which is unknown or unexpected for those who were gathered in that room, but it is that gift of God to us, to people. Now, I'm aware that there are a number of people here who've experienced the power of God's Spirit in their lives. Yes? How many people can honestly say they've been influenced, they have felt God's Spirit on them at any time? Number. There are over 300 references in the New Testament alone to the Spirit. Now, granted, some of them are about evil spirits possessing humans, but Pentecost was the dawn of a new era, a time when ordinary people were anointed by God with superhuman abilities to speak and to teach about Jesus. But not only that, they were also given the ability to heal sickness and forgive sins. And in Acts 7, we read of Stephen responding to the Jewish hierarchy, who were questioning him with charges against him for blasphemy against God. And in great detail, he then justifies what he's been doing and closes with the words in verse 51, "You always resist the Spirit." Now, this was a charge against religious leaders. And they were, I think it's fair to say, rather indignant that this was a thing. But Stephen was reveling in a newfound blessing from God, which enabled him to do and to say things which he'd never been able to do before. We have Peter and John in Samaria, and they're laying hands on newly baptized people that they may receive the gift of the Spirit. And then along comes somebody by the name of Simon. What does Simon do? Well, Simon is so wrong with it. And yet, the way that he reacts to this situation just shows how misunderstood God's gift of the Spirit can be. Simon offers money with the words, "Give me this ability so that I may lay hands on everyone and receive the Holy Spirit." You see, putting a value on the Spirit is an impossible thing. How can you put a value on a gift like that? Do we ask when we are given a present or given a gift, what did it cost? I sincerely hope not. But a gift like that from God is a precious thing, that it's something that should be cherished and nurtured every day. So if we return to the reading that we heard earlier, it reminds us of the words that the prophet Joel said, that I, God, pour it on all people. And by pouring it out, what he was enabling people to do, and I'm sure you all know this already, he was enabling the prophetic. And we have experienced the prophetic in this church. It enables dreams and visions to be an everyday part of the people's lives, of our lives. But the question is this where we are? I sometimes despair of the church. I despair of the fact that we have, or it has been turned into a business. And as you may be aware, I spend quite a bit of time doing chaplaincy at the cathedral, which enables me to meet real people in real circumstances, speaking to atheists, speaking to people with domestic problems, speaking to people who know nothing at all about God. And this is where I think most of us want to be, out with people, rather than being under the constraints of a body. And it's quite interesting that the way that the cathedral works, there is nobody recognizable as being part of the church community there, because nobody wears any robes or has any identification that they are in the place to be able to spend time with people. And it's only the day chaplain who actually wears a cassock. And that attracts people's attention. You know, I believe today there is the possibility that we can treat the Holy Spirit with contempt. We can so easily forget the initial surprise and awe that we experienced when we were first blessed by God. It can become like that birthday celebration, that as we grow in faith, we can just take things for granted. We can even lose interest in what God can do in our lives. It can become that relationship with God and the power of the Holy Spirit can become like an old favorite coat that we just slip into, knowing that it's always there. It's hanging on the hook for when the bad weather comes along. So again, that question, do our expectations diminish with age? Do we just become so comfortable with God now? Where is the joy in this place at the moment? Who is really feeling, well, you know, I really feel that God's stuck a spirit inside me today to celebrate. The Spirit is the most important thing that God gives us as part of living, of Him living in us. And I don't see how we can ever be in anything but awe of that. So we can read all the commentaries, we can study all the reference books we like about the Spirit, but they will never be able to give us the understanding of what He can do until we experience Him in our lives. And when we have, how can we not want to revel in the fact that God wants to use us to do His work, giving us the same powers, the same skill, the same ability, the same knowledge that He gave in Exodus 1 that I mentioned earlier. Back in 1900, who was the Bishop of Birmingham, wrote these words about the Spirit of God. He said, "The Holy Spirit is at work in human beings. Spirit is the same as that for a breath or wind, and the work of the Spirit is invisible, it's powerful, and it's life-giving. God puts His Spirit into people. He brings righteousness, and He gives understanding and wisdom and strength and power, and the Spirit inspires human beings with all that is good and true and life-enhancing. He's at work in all the great faith, world faiths where there is an authentic experience of God and a true enhancement of life. The Spirit is given to the prophets of Israel because through the Spirit, Mary conceived, Jesus was born, at His baptism in the Jordan, Jesus had the experience of the Spirit through which He knew that He was God's Son. The Spirit drove Jesus to temptation, and in the Spirit, Jesus did mighty works of healing and preached the good news all over God's kingdom. The Spirit that was in Jesus during His lifetime was poured out from Jesus onto His church at its foundation. The Spirit is at work in all that makes us alive." I'll say that again. The Spirit is at work in all that makes us alive, more human, more like Christ. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that that is born of the Spirit." The flesh stands for what is outward, material, and superficial. The Spirit is the divine working in man, making him authentic, true, and God-centered. To be born again is to put aside superficial living and to be open to the Spirit of God. Quite truthful and hard-hitting words. But things that we could just take in that ear and let it come out that ear. As Peter reminded us in his response to Simon, we can't buy this. You can't go into the co-op, look in the freezer section and find something that's been there for 3 or 6 months. Long life is not there. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, does God give you his spirit and work miracles amongst you because of what you heard? And in chapter 5 he says, by faith we eagerly await the righteousness for which we hope. It doesn't matter what somebody stands up here and says to you, unless each one of us makes the effort to spend time in God's presence, we put a barrier up to him actually filling us with the Spirit and enabling us to do the work that God's calling us to do. It's not because of what we have heard, but it's what God reveals through what we hear. It's what God reveals to us through what we read. There's no point at all in picking up the Bible and studiously reading it if you then put it down, close it up, and walk away from it without having any thought or reflection on what you've read. It's thinking about things. It's allowing God that time to actually speak to you. If we just dash into what we call a quiet time of reading our Bible, it is actually pointless. Because what Jesus is saying is, spend time with me. He didn't spend those 3 years with those guys wandering around the countryside just for fun. He spent time with them so they could learn what he had for mankind, that he wanted to pass on to them so that they could do it. Realizing they couldn't do it in their own strength, he left the Holy Spirit. I'm not teaching you anything new here. I'm not saying anything that you don't know. But it is that dedication to actually spending time with God. Now we've got two young individuals here with us who are looking forward to getting married later this year. They love spending time with each other. Now look, don't worry. The sitting around you are a load of old fogies, many of whom have been married for years, and I include myself in that. But the thing is, there is joy in who they are and what they are. They are learning about each other to share, to prepare themselves for spending a lifetime together. That's what Jesus was doing, spending time so that they could learn. Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. If you're dashing around being busy, you cannot have an ear for what the Spirit says. And these words were to all the churches, but it's the same message that the disciples expounded. Now, as I'm closing, in a moment, Amy's going to come and she's going to be playing a prayerful song, which we all know, and it's asking that the Spirit of the living God would fall afresh on us. And as she does so, I want to challenge us all today to be honest with ourselves about letting the Spirit control our lives, leading all aspects of our lives. If we hold on to the gift with the same reverence and awe and excitement as we did when we first received it, we will receive a blessing. Thing is, have we shared it with fellow Christians who still doubt that they are worthy to receive such a wonderful gift? Christians who fear what may happen if they open themselves to the unknown. Just imagine that today is our Pentecost. That the Spirit is moving through this place as it did that day 2,000 years ago.